In the name of Jesus, amen. Gospel reading is the basis for our sermon this Lord's Day. You were created to live and abide in Jesus. That's what you were made for. And joy and peace and contentment are all byproducts of that following of our Lord. That is what our Lord is continuing to lead you towards. God knows that, and because He made you and has great love for you, He continues to lead you to a relationship with Him. St. Augustine expressed it well when he said, "You have made us for yourselves, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. But giving up on ourselves and letting God be God is a daily challenge for the Christian. May the Lord assure us of His goodness and mercy in the midst of all this day." We would like to think of ourselves as being courageous people. We'd like to think that we're strong, that we're bold, that we will do what needs to be done, that we are faith-filled individuals. And we are. When the sun is shining and things are going our way, and we get to do what we want to do when we want to do it. You've heard of fair weather fans. We tend to be foul weather Christians. When the news is bad, when we get sick, when things are not going our way, then we turn to God. Then God gets our attention. God gets more attention from us after we have exhausted all of our own resources. We pray more when we are troubled. We pray more when we're in trouble. Sometimes it's prayers of anger. "Lord, why are you letting this happen? Lord, why don't you do something about this? Lord, save me." You're not the only one to think that way. It's an old story. Remember, God is always working at leading us to Himself. In our gospel lesson, we hear Jesus' power over all creation when He comes out walking on the water to the disciples in the boat. How can Jesus do that? How can He walk on water? Well, He's God, and His word has authority and power, so He can do those things. The Bible tells us that God and His word have power over water and in the midst of water. It's found in the New Testament. It's found in the Old Testament. In fact, we have that marvelous story in the Old Testament of the parting of the waters of the Red Sea. You remember how that goes. The people of Israel were held captive by the Egyptians, and finally God was going to lead them out of captivity. It was the night of the Exodus. You can read about it in the book of Exodus. There were the 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, and the Israelites witnessed all those plagues. They witnessed how God could let the plagues fall on the Egyptians, but not on the Israelites. God could punish His enemies while preserving His people. And the 10th and final plague was the worst. It was going to be the death of the firstborn. So God told the people, "Put lamb's blood on the door frame of your house, and when you do that, the angel of death will pass over your home and all lives will be spared." But for the Egyptians who did not do that, the Bible tells us there was not a single house where someone was not dead. And on that very night, Pharaoh told the Israelites to leave. God led His people out of Egypt with power and great might, went before them with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. But God didn't take them directly to the Promised Land. He took them into the wilderness. In fact, He took them to a dead end. Literally, it was a dead end. The Red Sea was in front of them. The Israelites looked behind them, and the Egyptian army is coming up behind them. They can't go backwards. They can't go forwards. And so what do? They cry out. They cry out to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here into the wilderness for us to die? Was it because there were no graves in Egypt?" And they were angry. And God tells Moses, "Fear not, stand firm. Tell the people that they will see the salvation of the Lord, and He will fight for them this day." The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be silent. And then God, through Moses, tells the people to go forward. They can't go forward. God tells Moses, raise up the staff, raise up your arms. And what happened? The waters of the Red Sea parted. The people walked through on dry ground. It's an amazing story. And then after they get through, the Egyptian army comes after them, and God tells Moses, put your arms down. The waters of the Red Sea closed upon the Egyptian army. They were all destroyed. An incredible story of salvation through water. The people never would have expected God to do that, but it didn't happen until they were at a dead end. They didn't know where else to turn. God put the disciples in our gospel lesson in a place where they had nowhere else to turn. They're rowing across the Sea of Galilee. It's windy. They're experienced sailors. They know what to do. But the going is slow. It's the middle of the night, and they look out, and what do they see? They see a man walking on the water towards their boat. And they were terrified. They cried out, it's a ghost. And immediately Jesus speaks up and says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And when Jesus says, it is I, that's the big name for God. That's the name Yahweh. He's saying, it's me here, it's God. Take heart, don't be afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, come. Peter gets out of the boat, starts taking a few steps on water. We don't know how many, but he actually was walking on the water. And then he takes his eyes off of Jesus, begins to see the wind and the waves, and he starts to sink. And he cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus does. Immediately Jesus grabs hold of Peter and saves him. And then Jesus says to him, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Jesus doesn't say, well, I'm proud of you for trying. He doesn't say, well, if you would just trust a little more. Like a loving parent saying to a frightened child in the middle of the night, it's like asking him, why are you scared? The danger is not going to hurt you. I am here. Jesus is here to save. He is not a ghost. He is not an idea. He is not a teaching. He is a flesh and blood Savior who is here to save and has, in fact, already saved you from your worst enemies. Yes, He's already saved you from your worst enemies. Enemies which are worse than you can know or imagine. The sin that destroys us. The death which will claim your life, the devil who wants you for all eternity, from those enemies, Jesus has already saved you. Jesus comes to save. That is what a Savior does, and He saves those who need saving. So what is what He wants us to do? To cry out to Him to be saved. When we're struggling with sin, Lord, save me. When we are anxious or fearful, Lord, save me. When we don't know where to turn, Lord, save me. Sometimes we think, well, you know, Jesus would be so proud of us if we were strong and independent and could stand on our own two feet. It's not that way at all. Jesus comes to save. And He comes to save those who need saving. You have a flesh and blood Savior whose flesh and blood saves you from sin, who delivers you from the grave, and who has power over the devil. That's the kind of Savior that you have. And the Lord is working to draw you closer to Himself day by day to assure you of that good news, grace, and mercy. And He does it by His word which He puts into your ears as you hear it, word which He put upon you in your baptism with water when He washed you and made you His child and says nothing can ever change that. That word He puts into you through His holy supper by which he gives you his very body and blood to save you. His hand reaches out to save us. Now that doesn't mean you won't have any troubles. You most certainly will. For that reason, Jesus gives us his name, that we could call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Because as St. Paul reminds us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So no matter where you find yourself this morning, no matter what state of worry, anxiety, joy, or sorrow, challenge, or thankfulness, the Lord is faithful to all his promises. And the reason he came is the same reason he comes, to save. For we, like Peter, on our own, can only sink. But with Jesus, we are saved. He saves us and reaches out to us, and that promise shall never fail. Lord, save me. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.